Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Nazir Daf Chaf Dalet. We begin on the second line from the top with the new Mishnah. We're learning today Leilu Nishmas, the 10th yahrzeit of my mother-in-law, Esther Etel Bazalman Yosef. She was a very special, wonderful lady, and it's the 10th yahrzeit. Yezus Hashem, all the learning that I do should be eschus for her holy neshama. Okay, we begin. Two lines in the top, Chaf Dalet Amnalef, the new Mishnah. We already had this Mishnah, so it's a little bit of Chazara. The Mishnah tells us, Aisha Shenadra B'Nazir, a woman takes upon herself Naziris. The Hifrisha has Behemta, and she goes and sets aside animals, the Ola, the Chatos, and the Shlomim, as we've mentioned many times, those are the three sacrifices that a person has to bring, a man or a woman, at the conclusion of the Naziris B'Tahara. In order to conclude the Naziris, she does a Taglachas, the man would do a Taglachas as well. The Hifrisha has Behemta, so she set aside these animals, and then along comes her husband, Riachakach, Hefer Lo Bala. Her husband revokes her Naziris. And now the question is, what is the status of these animals that she was mafrisha? So do they have kedusha? Do they not have kedusha? So the Mishnah tells us it depends. Im shelo ha'isa behema, if these animals were the husband's property, they belong to the husband, the old of the chatas and the shalmash he set aside, so then there's no kedusha whatsoever for them. Teitze v'sire be'edem. As we pointed out previously, this doesn't mean it doesn't mean that they passed her until they get a mum. It means they go back to being absolute chulin because they didn't belong to her. She had no right to go and be mafresh them. And since, in fact, she didn't become an Azira because the husband revoked it. So in this situation, there is absolutely no need for these animals. And therefore, as Tosus points out, Shalom Ha'isa Kodesh Klal. They don't have any Kedusha whatsoever. And therefore, they are perfectly like any other Chulin animal. There's no residual Kedusha on them whatsoever. They're perfectly Chulin. That's if they belong to the husband. However, if she had her own separate funds, there are a number of ways that this could happen, the more we'll discuss. For example, she's in a relationship with her husband where she says, listen, the financial matters, yours are yours, mine are mine. I make more money than you. I don't want your support of me. I'll take care of myself. So then obviously they belong to her. Or it's a situation, the Gemara will explain, where she was very, very careful with her money that she was being given by her husband, and any excess she had, that retains to her. Or somebody gave her money and said, this is yours, on the condition that it doesn't belong to her husband. Otherwise, normally things would belong to the husband unless they had established a relationship otherwise. So here, the man who gave her the money, or whoever gave her the money, said, this is yours, these animals are yours, or the money to buy these animals is yours, and it's not in the possession of your husband. In any event, that's how she could have funds. So, im shalah ha'isa behema, if in fact she owned these behemos, so then there is a certain kedusha to them. And therefore, the Mishnah says, im shalah ha'isa behema, so the one that she set aside as the Chatos, so a Chatos Tomus, as we explained previously, and you can see this in Tosus over here as well, a Chatos Tomus, so I forgot the Hofer law, even though her husband revoked the Naziris, as we learned previously, and you can see in Dibur Maskel, Tosus, a Chatos Tomus, he says, Kivin de boy kapar, as we explained, from Rilosa Kapar, she did something wrong, she was Mitzaris Asma Min Hayayin, so therefore, she requires a Kapara, and therefore, this now is no longer necessary because she's not a Nazira, but her actions that she had been the Tzai herself are still there, and therefore she can't bring this as a Chatos. We're dealing over here with the Chatos Behema. We're not dealing over here with the previous Chatos that was brought Betumah, which we said the bird Chatos could be brought Al Sofek. Here the animal Chatos cannot be brought Al Sofek, and therefore it is as if it is a Chatos Shemesu Ba'aleha, since she cannot bring this carbon because she's not a Nazira, who's concluding her Naziris, so therefore this is a Chatos. It's as if the owner had died, and the rule is, this is one of the five chatos, that one of them is, if the owner dies, so then the chatos is tomus. Now again, we point that, you can't go and bring it as a sacrifice, but you can't go and kill it either. So therefore, you put it in a kippah, you put it in a room, you lock the door, and the animal will die on its own. So this is what you do with the chatos, if she had designated mafrisha animals of her own. So a chatos tomus, the ola tikrav ola, the ola is brought as an ola. Aitosa says, and Dibur Maskel Ola Tikrav Ola. We learned previously, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Riochun Broka, he had taught us that the Ola is not a Doron, and that was dealing with the bird offering Ola, and that we said, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Riochun Broka, we needed the Pasuk Bayomahu to exclude the bringing of the Ola, and in fact, that Ola is not a Doron, that Ola is a Kapara. So over here too, how can we say Ola Tikrav Ola, the bird offering that she set aside as an Ola, should be as an Ola? So it should be in this situation, based upon what we learned from Yishmael, Benosha, Riochun, Broka, that the Ola shouldn't have to be brought. So Tosus answers, no, that's the difference there, was the bird offering was from Tumah, and only in that situation is it not brought. But here, But we have the pasuk that is not being brought as kapara. This is being brought as a dorin. So the animal offering of the ola is in fact brought, but it's not brought as a nazira's ola. It is brought as a voluntary ola. Ola tikrav ola. It will be brought as an ola, but not as a nazira's ola, just as a voluntary ola. An ola can be designated voluntarily. So too here, this ola, which had kiddush of an ola, is going to now be brought as a voluntary ola. And finally, shlamim, tikrav shlamim. The shlamim carbon that she had set aside will be brought as a shlamim. Now, normally a shlamim has certain rules to it, such as it's eaten for the 2 days and the night in between them, and it doesn't require breads to be brought with it, and there is no zroa b'sheila, which is a part of the right foreleg that is given as a nazir's offering of the shlamim to the kohen. Here, this is not given under a normal shlamim to the kohen. So the question will arise, this shlamim is tikrav shlamim, is what is a shlamim, but under what rules? Under the normal rules of the shlamim, or under the rules of a ayil of a nazir shlamim? That rule for a nazir shlamim is different. It doesn't have 2 days. It only has the day that is brought and the night afterwards. Likewise, it's required to bring with it 20 breads, two groups of 10 breads. And there's the zroa b'sheila, the right foreleg, that is given to the kohen and is only allowed to be eaten by the kohanim. Normally, the meat of a shlamim is eaten by the balim, with the exception of the zroa l'chayim and keva, which are given to the kohanim. But even those can be eaten by a regular Yisrael as well. They're given to the kohanim, but it doesn't have kedusha that only a pir chikuna or the kohanim can eat it. But the zroa b'sheila is only allowed to be eaten by the kohanim. So the shlamim of an nazir or a nazira is different than a regular shlamim for these three dinim. So the Mishnah tells us shlamim tikrav shlamim. However, we give it the stringencies to a certain extent of the shlamim of nazir, such as v'necholim l'yom echad. It's only eaten for 1 day and the night following it, and not the next day as well, like a regular shlamim. However, the einon tunim lechem, but it doesn't require the two groups of 10 breads, the 20 breads that are normally brought with the nazir's shlamim. It doesn't require that. And likewise, there's a machlokis over here as to what is the status of the zroa b'sheila. There are those that say that there is a din of zroa b'sheila, and in fact, you have to give it to the kohen, whereas others say, no, there is no din of zroa b'sheila. We'll discuss this more at a later time, probably. In any event, we continue with the Mishnah. Until now, we've been dealing with if she had set aside animals, either her husband's animals or her own animals. What happens if she set aside money? Hayulo mos stumim. She had set aside money to buy her korbanos, but she didn't designate or specify what money should be going for the chatos, what money should be going for the ola, what money should be going for the shlamim. She just had what we call mos stumim. They were undesignated funds. So in this situation, yiplu l'nedava. They all go for olos that would be brought on Keitz HaMizbeach. In other words, these are brought as communal offerings. The money goes to the kitty of the Beis HaMikdash, and when things are slow in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't want the Beis HaMikdash to be inactive, so they would take from this fund, called the Keitz HaMizbeach fund, and would go and bring Karbanos Ola on behalf of the community for Klal Yisrael. And the Nesachim that came along with this would be provided by the community, so she didn't have to pay for that. These Mos Stumim, however, would fall to the Keitz HaMizbeach funds, and that's called l'nedava. Mos b'furashin, however, if she had designated funds, if she had said, this $100 is going to be for the chatas, this $100 is going to be for the shlam, this $100 is going to be for the ola, so it's not just a pile of money, it's specified money in this situation, so the demei chatas money will be exactly the same way as the chatas was, yechul yam ha-melech, just like the chatas can't be brought as a korban, and it can't be killed, so you have to get rid of it, but you're not allowed to actively get rid of it. So we said put the chatas in the kippah. So to over here, these funds, you can't use them because they're designated for a chatas, and you can't just leave them around because it'll be a takala. So what you do is yelchul yam ha-melech. You throw them into yam ha-melech where there's no chance that they'll be misused because people didn't go and travel on the yam ha-melech. Lo nanin, lo mal ben. Likewise, there is no din over here of me'ilah. And Tosos in Zero Maschu, Dmei Chatos Yechul Yam HaMelech explains, Kiven De'eluhi Ilu Ha'isor Va'Behema Hava Ozlo L'Misa, since if this was Behema, it would have died. Lo Nenin Me'os and Mos, you're not going to get any Hanah from this money, Midir Abonon. Lo Mo'alin, the Kiven the Liyam HaMelech Ozlo, Lo Karinim Be'Kotche Hashem. So it doesn't have the full status of being hektish anymore, but at the same time, you're not allowed to go and use it for anything. So it's like a limbo status. You're not mauling with it, but at the same time, you can't use it. And he says, Wadin Lael Gabi Behema, Motzi L'misne, Lo Nenim Lo Mauling. And Tosfos points out, it could have said this in the first part of the Mishnah as well, it just saying it over here, and it applies to the first part of the Mishnah as well, in regards to the Behema, Lo Nenim Lo Mauling applies to the Behema, as well as to the Mei Chatos. So applies to the Chatos, as well as the money, the funds that were designated by a Chatos. So that's what you do with the Chatos funds. The Mei Ola, the money that was set aside to purchase an Ola. So your view, Ola, Umalim Ben. So this is a regular carbon Ola. Now, regular carbon Ola is those funds or that animal have the potential to have Mila. That has full Kedusha to it. And if somebody were to usurp those funds unintentionally, so then there would be a din of Mila. And what do you do with the funds that were set aside for the Shlamim, the Mei Shlamim? So your view, Shlamim. That you go and bring your Shlamim. And the same thing as we said before with the shlomim itself. Well, that applies over here. To a certain extent, it's a shlomim of a nazir, that it's only allowed to be eaten for that one day and the night afterwards, and not the next day, like a regular carbon shlomim. However, you don't bring the breads of the carbon shlomim in that situation. And here, Tosos, again, before I point this out, let's look at it now. The Tosos, the Ramaskul shlomim, so he brings out the middle of this Tosos that Ein lohem zroa. There is no din of the zroa b'sheila. Umedamale lohochi hainu ein lohem zroa kimitzfaso shiitom b'tnufa. He's saying that there is no din of waving the zroa b'sheila. Avu mikom mokom hazroa mitzar kichomer shalmei nazir. So it does have to be given to the Kohen, but it's not waved, the tnufa that would normally be done with it. Others disagree and say no, as Tosus brings down over here in the continuation of this Tosus, Odomer Rebbeinu Tam, the Ein Lohem Zroa, what does that mean? It doesn't have a din of Zroa. Hainu the Ein Lohem Din Zroa B'Sheilo, so you should basil in my eye. Yes, you have to give it to the Kohen, but it's not cooked in the same way as the Zroa B'Sheilo normally would be cooked. El Levado Asrine. And it's given separately to the Kohen, it's a separate din. And others disagree and say, no, there is no din of Zeruah B'Sheila. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Now let's jump into the Gemara. And the Gemara starts and says, Man Tana de Baal lo Mishtabud lo. Who is the author that seems to say in our Mishnah that the husband has no obligation to give his wife sacrifices? Because we said in the Mishnah that if the Korbanos belong to the husband, im shalom haisa habehema, if the animals belong to the husband, so then teitzei v'tira beida, then there is no kedusha upon them. When he revokes her neder, there is no kedusha upon them. In other words, the husband wasn't mishubit to go and give her any korbanos. So whose opinion is this? So we'll have two versions of this. The first version is Amar Rav Chista Rabbanan hi. This is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, and Rav Chista says that the author of our Mishnah is the opinion of the Rabbanan, which we'll explain in a moment. Because if you're going to tell me this is Daitoch Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to tell me this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the husband is obligated to go and give his wife korbanos, so then Amai Teitzev Etira Be'eda. Why did it not have any kedusha to it? If the husband is obligated to give it to the wife, so then the wife was makdishit, she was mafrisha, so ha mishtabed lo. So then he had that obligation to go and give it to her, so therefore why is it going and Teitzev Etira Be'eda? It belongs then to Kachim. So what is this machlokis between Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim? So we'll understand this. This is the first version of this. Second version of Chist will say will be the exact opposite. Right now, Chist is saying that the Mishnah is authored by the Rabbanan. In a moment, we'll have the Ikud Yamri, where he'll say the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. What is this machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? The Tanya. According to the following Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adam may be carbon, Ashu Alishto. Rabbi Yehuda says that a person, a husband, who is obligated to pay for his wife's korbanos, has to bring the wife's korbanos as his status, as per his financial status, because there is a din in certain korbanos called korban ole v'yored that is dependent upon the person's financial status. For example, sometimes if a person is wealthy, you have to bring an animal offering. If he's not so wealthy, he can bring a bird offering. And if he's really poor, he can bring a flower offering. Sometimes there's only two opportunities, either an animal offering or a bird offering. In any event, this is called the carbon ole viore. It depends. It goes up or down depending on the person's financial status. Now, here, the man, the husband, is very wealthy. But technically, his wife has no finances. She is totally dependent upon him. So therefore, one might have argued that if the woman is, the wife is obligated to bring korbanos, she could bring those korbanos as a poor person. So she would only have to spend $50 on a flower offering rather than $500 on an animal offering. So you might have thought that. So Yehuda tells us no. Yehuda Omer, all the may be korban asher alishto. If the man is wealthy, so then his wife has to be treated the same way. She goes along with his financial status. So if he is wealthy and would have to bring the higher level carbon, so then when his wife is obligated in a carbon ol v'yored, she would also too have to bring the higher level carbon. The chayin kol carbon osel she chayevis, and review the ads, any obligations that the wife has in terms of carbonos, the husband has to go and pay for them. Shekach kosev lo, that's what it says in the ksuba. Kol achrayis de islich olai min kadmas dina, any obligations that you have even before you're married to me, I'm accepting upon myself to go and pay for them. Now, this clearly shows that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the husband would be obligated to pay for his wife's carbonos, or to go and accept responsibility for any carbonos that his wife took. Now, the Mefarshim will point out, this only deals with obligatory carbonos. Otherwise, if the wife gets into a fight with the husband, so she say, I donate 1,000 olos, she could break her husband. If she gets into a fight with him, she could hurt him very much financially. So it's only talking about obligatory carbonos. And the question then, the Rosh asks, is, well, a Naziris is voluntary, it's not obligatory. So the answer is, once she accepts upon herself a Naziris, it becomes obligatory, and it's unlikely that a woman would try to hurt her husband. She might say, I'll donate 1,000 olos, because that's really easy, but she's not going to take upon herself 1,000 Naziruses to try to break her husband, because that's very hard on herself. So therefore, this is considered something that the husband would have an obligation for. So therefore, Rav Chista says that Rav Yehuda cannot be the author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said that it belongs to the husband. The wife has no right to take it. According to Rav Yehuda, the husband has an obligation to go pay for those korbanos. So therefore, first version of Rav Chista is that our Mishnah cannot be authored by Rabbi Yehuda, it's also by the Chacham. They say, no, the husband doesn't have that obligation to pay for his wife's sacrifices. But Rava says, no, lav dafka. Rava Omar, afilu tem Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah could even be Rabbi Yehuda. Why, then, is our Mishnah saying that teitzei v'tira be'eder? Why, then, isn't the husband obligated to go take care of those wife's korbanos? So the answer is, ki mishabed lo, when the husband accepted upon himself responsibility for his wife's korbanos, that's b'milsa de tzricha lo, when she needs it. But here he revoked her neder, and therefore b'milsa de lo tzricha lo, since he revoked her neder, there is no obligation, and therefore there never was any obligation upon him to go and pay for her ola, her chatos, and her shlamim, because he revoked the neder, and therefore our Mishnah could even be in accord with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that normally he has such an obligation, but here he doesn't. That's the first version of this machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, as to Rav Chista saying that the authorship of our Mishnah is the Chachamim, and Rava says no, it could even be Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have the second version, Ika the Amrei, that we ask the same question, Mantan, who's the author of our Mishnah, and now Rav Chista says, on Rav Chista, that our Mishnah is in fact in accord only with Rabbi Yehuda and not the Chachamim. Because the Chimishabed law, when we say that the husband obligates himself to pay for his wife's korbanos, this was the answer that Rava gave a moment ago, here Rav Chista says it lechatchila. The Chimishabed law, b'milso detzrichala, he's only mishabed himself to her for things that she needs. But if he revokes her neder, and she's not in a zero, b'milso detzrichala law, so then there never was any obligation. So the authorship of our Mishnah is actually Rabbi Yehuda, because the Rabbanim, you're telling me it's the Rabbanim, so then, lo mishabed lo klal. According to the Chachamim, there is no shibud whatsoever on the husband upon his wife for her korbanos. Therefore, Rav Chista says that the authorship of Mishnah cannot be the Chachamim. Ayin Gemara asks, but what about a case where the husband did not revoke her neder? So if he didn't revoke her neder, it seems to imply that the korbanos actually are obligated upon the husband. So, Elahechi Dami de Mishabed La, how can you ever have the husband being obligated according to this understanding of the Chachamim in a situation where he's not made for a neder? So then she does have the obligation. So how could that be? Kigon de Kanaya law. Oh, it must be that he gave them to her. But once he gave them to her, the Chivon de Kanaya law, if he gave them to her, so Havo de Nafsha, so they belong to her. So what difference does it make whether we say then im shalah, either Mimanusha, they don't belong to her at all, or they belong to her no matter what? In the situation where he's not made for a neder, either you say that she has no rights to them whatsoever, or if the husband gave it to her, so then she has those rights, but they're shalom or shalom. So the Mishnah doesn't make any sense that it could be according to the Chachamim. So therefore, this version of Rav Chista says that the authorship of the Mishnah must be the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, and not the Chachamim. We turn to Chav Dalet Amud Beis, and here again too, Rava says, no, afilu tem Rabbanan. No, our Mishnah could fit even according with the opinion of the Rabbanan. Why is that? When the husband gives it to her, ki makni lo, nami b'milsa de tzricha lo. He's only giving it to her if it's needed. But when he revokes it, b'milsa de lo tzricha lo, lo makni lo. Then he's not giving it to her. So therefore, the bottom line is, according to Rava, our Mishnah could be going according to both versions, to the opinion of either the Chachamim or Rabbi Yehuda, according to both versions. According to the first version, Rav Chista says our Mishnah is only going according to the Chachamim. According to the second version, Rav Chista is only going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, so we said, if the animals belong to her, so then the Mishnah stated that the chatos has to go tomus. You put it in the keeper, it closes the door, and the animal will die on its own. But the ola is brought as an ola. So Gemara says, he minola. The question that I had answered in the Mishnah, now the Gemara is asking, how does she have something that is shalah? After all, under normal circumstances, the relationship financially between the husband and the wife is, when the husband marries her, the husband obligates himself to support his wife, but anything that his wife has belongs to him. Now, if they have a different relationship, this was done to protect the woman. If the woman says, listen, I make more money than you, I'd rather keep my salary, I'll take care of my own finances, you keep your money, I'll keep my money, so she's allowed to do that. But under normal circumstances in those days, the woman had no independent income, they didn't have a way to make a living, and therefore, it was to the woman's advantage to be supported by her husband, but at the same time, if the husband supports his wife, he expects anything that she gets to be his. So that was a quid pro quo type of a relationship to maintain the happy, smooth shalom bayis in the family. In any event, the Gemara says, how can you tell me the Mishnah, shalahi, how does that happen? He, minola, how does she have property? How does she have animals? So the Gemara says, ha'amis masha konsa isha konabala. Under normal situation, whatever the woman acquires goes to her husband. So how could she have animals? So we have the roots of the Gemara gives, Amar Papa, Shekimot Sasa, Mei Sasa. She was very, very frugal. She is giving her a lot, and she's giving $50 a week, and she only ate $30 worth. So she saved $20, saved $20, saved $20 every week. Oh, that added up to how she could go buy her animals. That Mosar that she kept from what she was entitled to belongs to her. Alternatively, by the same the Akni Lo Acher. Another person gave it to her on the condition, Almanas. So somebody is very kind, her uncle is very nice uncle. He says, listen, I want you to have these animals. They're given to you on the condition they don't belong to her husband. So therefore, that's how the woman can have animals. Then we quote the Mishnah, Ola Tikrav, Ola, Vashlomin Tikrav Shlomin. We said in the situation where the animals belong to her and her husband revoked to Nazira, so then the Ola is brought as an Ola and the Shlomin brought as a Shlom. So Gemara says, Amale Shmuel, Lavua Bar'ihi. Shmuel asked Avua Bar'ihi the following question. He said, Lo Tesev Al Karech, please don't sit down. This was an expression of, tell me the answer. Don't do anything else until you tell me the answer. Ad Amisli Hadar Milsa, until you tell me this Milsa. Now, I thought to read the Gemara, what Milsa is he talking about? The Elohen Arbo Elim She'enun Tunim Lechem. We have a Gemara elsewhere that says there are four Elim that don't bring the bread. In other words, they're a shlomim that was originally supposed to be an aisle for a nazir, but they ended up not being the aisle for the nazir, and therefore they're brought as a shlomim, and they don't bring lechem. So I understood this as Shmuel telling Avua Bar'ihi, I don't understand what these four are, please tell me what these four are. And then Avua Bar'ihi answers him, these four are Shiloh, Vishaloh, Vishalachar Miso, Vishalachar Kapar. But I saw that many read this differently, and they say that Shmuel asked him the question, but the Gemara doesn't say what the question is, and by Avua Bar'ihi's answer, he says, Ve'elu hein abon elim she'enon tunim lechem. So basically we understand that Shmuel asked him the question, are there any types of situations where a shlomim that was originally designated for a nazir is ultimately brought but without the lechem? So in any event, whatever the physical statement of Shmuel was, he certainly was asking this question, and the answer is, there are four examples that Avua Bar'ihi gives, Shiloh, Vishaloh, when the animals belong to him, or the animal belong to her, which we'll explain momentarily, Ulsha'achar Misa, if the animals are being brought after the death nebuch of the owner, and Vishalacha Kapara, or if the animal is being brought after the owner already received Kapara. Now, what are these four? Let's explain them. The Gemara says, Shalah, the first one, I don't know why it doesn't say Shalah first, it goes to Shalah first, it must be a different Girsa, in any event, just to keep the order straight, but it says, Shalah, the animal that was hers, that we said in our Mishnah, Hodamar, we already explained that. She had independent ownership of animals, and her Nazirus was revoked, so in this situation, so it's brought as a Shlomim, but it's not to Unim Lechem, and it's eaten for only one day and not the 2 days. Oh, very simple, very good. What's the case of Shalah? That's Ditnan. We learned in the following Mishnah. This will be learned in a couple of days. In Daf Chav Ches, it says over there, Ha'isha Madiras Beno B'Nazir. A man, not a woman, but a man has the right to go and make his son into a Nazir. However, it says, Ve'Isha Madiras Beno B'Nazir. A woman doesn't have the right to do this. We'll learn this in the Gemara. In Daf Chav Ches, we'll wait to discuss this a little bit more over there. Either it will be a halacha Moshe Sinai, or this is part of the chinuch responsibilities that the father has, and the mother doesn't have those responsibilities. In any event, the man obligates his son to be a nazir, and then gilach o shegilchu krovim. But the son doesn't want to be a nazir. So the son has the right to refuse to be a nazir. And he can do this by stating, I don't wish to do so, or by demonstrating, I'm not becoming a nazir, by going and shaving his head. Or the relatives can go do this as well. That is an interesting rush over here. The rush seems to suggest over here, in Dibur HaMaskel, Vim Gilach, and he says, they only can protest Achar Shemei So'av. Only if the father dies does this protest work. But it implies, the rush here, that if the father is not dying, the father is still alive, then this protest by the child or by the relatives will not work. But many disagree with that and say, no, if the son protests by doing either an oral protest or gilach, or he shaves his head to show I don't want to be a nazir, or the relatives do the same thing, or shaguchu krovim, the relatives either protest orally or they go shave his head, or micha, or if the son orally says I don't want to be a nazir, or shaguchu krovim, or the relatives say I don't want this son of yours to be a nazir, so then he's not a nazir. But what do you do with the funds that the father set aside? If the father had set aside money, you're ready for this. It was unspecified, undesignated funds, so they go linidaba. But if the funds had been mifuroshin, maos mifuroshin, the money was designated for specific karban, the chatos, the ola, the shlomim, so demei chatos, the money that was designated for the chatos, yachul yamamelech, like we said before by the animal, those funds go to the yamamelech. Demei ola, yavi ola, the money that was designated for the ola, she'll bring an ola with it. And since this is a kachri kadashim, malamen, there's a din of me'ila for it as well, just like there was a din of me'ila by the karban ola, the animal itself. And the Dmei Shlomim, the money that was designated for the Shlomim, Yaviyu Shlomim, that has to be brought as Shlomim, but again, with the caveat that it's not like a full Nazir Shlomim, not like a regular Shlomim. V'necholim yom echad, it's only able to be eaten for one day and the night afterwards, and not the 2 days, not the next day as well. V'enon tu'unim lechem, but it doesn't bring the 20 breads, the 2 groups of 10 breads that are normally brought, and as we discussed as well, the whole machlokus about what you do with the Zroa B'Shela. Now, those are the first 2 of the 4. Shiloh, the Shiloh. Now we go to the third one. What was the case, the third one, that Avuah Bari said to Shmuel, Shela'achar Misa Minolad. This case was if the owner had died, so then in that situation, the Shlomim is also brought without the breads. The Tanya, this is a Mishnah, it should be really the Tanan, as you can see in Tosus and the Masoras HaShatz, it's a Mishnah Me'ilah, although Masoras HaShatz says it's also a Tosefta, and maybe that's why it was originally written as the Tanya, but in any event, the more correct Gersa would be the Tanan. It says in the Mishnah, Hamafrish Mos L'Nazirus. So, if a person separates money for his Nazirus, Lo nanin, lo malamen. This money doesn't have the halachic status of being able to be considered mi'ila. However, you're not allowed to use it. So it's that limbo state again. Why? The reason why it's not mi'ila is because technically, since the money was unspecified, it was undesignated, it could have been used all to purchase his shlamim. And the shlamim is kachi kalim, and there is no din of mi'ila. The only time you have mi'ila by kachi kalim is after the zrika, and it's not on the basar shlamim, it's only on the emurim, the sacrificial fats. So there's mi'ila on that. In any event, since it could all be used for shlamim, there is no din of mi'ila. But since it's designated for shlamim, you're not allowed to go and use it. So it's a little bit like that limbo state. Lo nanin, you're not allowed to get an off from it. However, if you did get an off from it, you're not over me'ila. Mibnei shem ru'uyin lo'avi kulm shlamim. Now, what happens if the person died, nebuch v'meiz, lo'ilo mo'ostumim, a person died, and he had funds that were not specified to be brought for his naziris. So in this situation, what do you do with those funds? Yiplu l'nidava. They all go for the keitz ha-mizbeach, and that's the proper usage of these funds. Mos mifurashim, but if the person died and he had monies that were specified for the ola, for the chatas and the shlamim of his naziris, in this situation, the dmei chatas sholot l'amamelech. Again, this is chatas shemesu ba'aleha. If you have a chatas and the owner died, so the chatas goes to the keeper, you put the animal behind the closed doors and you let it die, you're not allowed to kill it, but you're not allowed to bring it as a carbon. So to the mos, you throw them into the yamamelech. That's the equivalent of putting the animal into the keeper. So dmei chatas sholot l'amamelech, lo nenen, lo molim. But technically, it doesn't have the kedusha of a carbon because it can't be brought as a carbon, so therefore there's no issur of me'ila, but at the same time you're not allowed to use it. So it's that limbo state. It's not a full-fledged kedusha, but it's certainly not something that you can use. Demei ola, what do you do with demei ola? You view ola umalaman. This is brought as an ola for that person, and this kedusha is kedusha of kachi kadashim, and therefore there is a din of me'ila. And here, number three, this is what you do. With the Demei Shlamim, you view Shlamim. However, Nechom Yomecha ve'Einon Tunun Lecha. But here is the third example where we have that it originally was supposed to be an Ayel Nazir, a Shlamim for a Nazir, but now it's not. So you bring it as a regular Shlamim. So it has some of the dinim of an Ayel of a Shlamim for a Nazir and some of the dinim of a regular Shlamim. So it's only eaten like the Ayel that the Nazir brings as his Shlamim. And that is one day and the night afterwards, but not the next day. Like a regular Kol Mishlam will be able to be eaten the next day. The ayil of the Nazir cannot be eaten for the next day. So that's the Nechom Liom Echad. However, they ain't to the Lechem. But unlike the ayil that a Nazir would bring for his Shlamim, it doesn't require the 20 breads that ayil of the Nazir would be obligated to bring. A regular Shlamim doesn't have breads with it, so too, ain't no Tunim Lechem. And again, as we discussed, the Zroa B'Shela question as well. So that's the third of the four cases that Avuah Bar Ihi told Shmuel. The fourth one is Shla'acha Kapara. It means after the person got a Kapara, if he still has the original carbon, let's say he had designated this to be a carbon for his ayil, for the Naziris, the Shlamim that he would have to bring, and he lost it, so he designated another one. He brought the other one, so he brought his Shlamim, and now they find the original one. So this is after the Kapara. So in this situation, it is also brought in this both ayil of a Nazir, as well as a regular shlamim. So shlacha kapara is svaru. This is a svaru that this should be the way. Because shlacha misa maitam, why do we say that the shlamim is brought without breads if the owner died? Because lo chazil kapara, because it can't be used for kapara. Nebuch, the owner died. Similarly, shlacha kapara nami. So too, if the owner did get kapara ready, ha lo chazil kapara, it can't be brought for him as a kapara. So therefore, it's in this midway status. It's a little bit like the ayil that the nozer brings for shlamim, and that you can only eat it nechol miyom echad, and not for the next day, but Einon Teunin Lechem. So those are the four cases that Avuah Bar Ihi told Shmuel. There were questions, and that's it. There's not a fifth one, the Suleka, but there's another one, Va'ika, the following case. Why didn't Avuah Bar Ihi say that there's a fifth case? And that is, Ushar Kol Shami Nazir Sheshichotu Shlomim Misosan. If you have a case where a regular Nazir, there's no Tumah, there's no death, there's no questions here, a regular Nazir, and they shechted his carbon Shlomim, the Ayil Nazir, and they unfortunately didn't do it properly. Sheshichotan Shelo Kimitzvasan. They didn't do it the proper way. For example, you can see this in the Rush. Sheshichotan Shelo Kimitzvasan. So he brings down from the Gemara in Menachos, Pirish Rashi, Shelo Lishman. They designated it for a different animal. They thought it was an Ola. So when the Kohen did it, he shechted it with the understanding that it would be Lishma for an Ola and not Lishma for the Isle of the Nazir. Or alternately, Od Pirish, Pirish Acher, another pshat would be, Shevi'am B'nei Shana. He brought it as a one-year-old, V'darkun Leos B'nei Shnasayim, and normally was a two-year-old ayil that was brought. T'chsev B'hu, as the pasuk says, ayil kisherim kidin shalmei nedova. So in this situation, the ayil would be brought as shalmei nedova, the call chovos shenizbuchu shelo lishman kisherim. Whenever you bring an animal and it's not done properly, as long as it's not a chatos, or as long as it's not the carbon pesach, which have special unique dins, and according to one Tana, also a asham. But in general, if you do it lo lishman, it's a good carbon, but shelo lishman, it's good kshayim elo shelo olu lebalim l'shem chova, but it doesn't fulfill the obligation. So to over here, v'chei nami. Here too, im hevion b'nei shana. If you took a one-year-old ayil rather than a second-year ayil, so then, in this situation, it's not lishma, and the einan tunim lechem, pirish rashi ho v'ein boim b'toras nazir, the boinan al kapeh hanazir. It's not brought like the nazir's animals brought. It didn't have all the proper things done to it. It was born shelo lishma, either because it was a one-year instead of a two-year, or it had the wrong understanding. They thought there was an ola. So in this situation, this would be a fifth example of necholim yom echad, the einon teunim lechem. That's Rashi's understanding that the Rush brings down. The Ri, however, Rush brings down, pirish shein tunim lechem litnufa, avo lechem tzorich lahavi. The Ri has a very interesting idea. He says that you do have to bring that with lechem, you just don't do it with the tnufa, with the waving that normally would be done by the kohen. In any event, this is another example where it's not done in the same way that the ayil of a nazir is normally done. And therefore, why didn't Avuah Bar Ihi include this? As, again, let's read the Gemara. Because Ushar Kol Shami Nazir Sheshchotet Lov Mitzvahs. And you have this other example that are Ksherim. However, the Lo Olin Lobal Mishum Chova, but they don't fulfill the obligation that the owner had to bring this ayil for his Naziris. But this animal that was brought, but this animal doesn't have the requirements that the normal aisle that the Nazir has to bring as a shlomim would have. In other words, it's eaten still for one day, not 2 days, like a regular shlomim, so that it does have, but it doesn't have the lechem, the 20 breads that need to be brought with it, and there is no din of zera b'shela, the way we discussed this as well. So why didn't Avu Abari bring this as a fifth example? So the Gemara says, no. Avu Abari was only telling Shmuel examples of kemitzvos on kachashiv. He was only telling him cases where everything was done properly. And in those four cases, shaloh, when it was already, he got kapara for it, shalachar misa, those four cases. So in those four cases, the din was done properly, except there was a circumstance that made it not able to be brought as a regular aisle of the nazir. But here we're dealing with shaloh kimitzvasa. It was done with the wrong makshava. It was done the wrong animal, lo kachashiv. That wasn't included in Avu Bar-Ihi's list. He agrees with it, but that's why he didn't say it. This is a good break point. Again, we learned today, Le'ili Nishmas, my mother-in-law, Esther Etel, Basalman Yosef, it's her 10th yard site. May her holy neshama have an aliyah from all learning. Have a wonderful day.